السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى إليكم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات، وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات، وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات، وترفعنا بها عندك على درجات، وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الحاجات في الحياة وبعد الممات. Inshallah, before I'll just go through these lines briefly, but before I do, a few things. One, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name Muhammad, and as all of you know, Muhammad is it's a passive form in the Arabic language, and it means the one who is most oft praised. Muhammad. Muhammada is an intensive form in Arabic, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a passive form of that verb. So it's a noun which indicates the one who is oft praised. And one of the greatest miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his name itself, because he is sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised in every tongue on the earth. His name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is indicative of his maqam, and he has the maqam al-mahmood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him, which is the praiseworthy station on the yawm al-qiyamah, when all of the messengers, all of the prophets, and all of humanity refuses shafa'ah, even one's own mother and father. When the son comes to them, the mother says, nafsi, nafsi. In this world, a mother would willingly give her life for her child. The vast majority of mothers would give their life for their child. But in the Akhirah, the mother says, nafsi, nafsi. Because that's the maqam of the Akhirah. With the exception of the Messenger of Allah, because when all of creation goes to him, he says, ana laha, ana laha. This is my maqam, and I take it. And then he goes to Rabb al-Izzah, and makes sajda in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah says, irfa' was'al wa shaffa' tu shaffa', raise your head now and ask what you want and it will be granted to you, and make your intercession and you will be given that intercession. And he, the best of creation, on that day, which is a real day, it will come just as we're sitting in this room today and experience consciousness and the fact that we're alive and breathing. That day will come, and we will be on that great plain, on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the Messenger of Allah, if we die in a state of Islam, will make intercession for this ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, just as he told him in the Qur'an, that I will please you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the Messenger of Allah to give him ridwan. And the ridwan of the Messenger of Allah is that his ummah enters into paradise. This poem is one of the many, many poems, hundreds of thousands of poems that were written in praise of the Prophet. And the secret of this poem, according to our ulama, is ikhlas. Because unlike many other poems in which it could be argued or actually more eloquent, in their Arabic, closer to the Jahili perfection of Arabic poetry. Despite that fact, although it is an extremely eloquent poem, the ulama say that the secret of its acceptance in the ummah was the ikhlas of its author. And it said of Imam al-Busiri that he is one of the people who died in yearning of the Messenger of Allah. He was a poet who used to praise kings and rulers, and at a certain point he had a profound spiritual transformation and stopped doing that. And I think he had a great remorse about much of what had transpired in his earlier youth. And this section, he begins by saying that I have transgressed the sunnah of the one who passed his night in worship. In other words, the Messenger of Allah, وَلَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ إِسْوَى أَوْ أُسْوَى حَسَنًا. You have in the Messenger of Allah the best example. And so he's saying that he did not follow that example, until the point that his feet complained of harm due to being swollen. And this is from the hadith in which Aisha radiallahu anhu saw the feet of the Messenger of Allah and said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has forgiven you your past and your future transgressions. And the transgression of the Messenger of Allah is leaving a virtuous act for a less virtuous act. This is the extent of what he can do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we use that word transgression, that Allah, you know, غَفَرَ لَكُمْ مَا تَقَدِمُ مِنْ دَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ, ذَنْبِ of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not like a wrong action of normal human beings, because he's not a normal human being, although he is a human being, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, وَشَدَّ مِنْ صَغَبٍ أَحْشَأْهُ وَطَوَى, and he tied and folded on account of hunger around his stomach. Again, this comes from the hadith in which it was reported that 2 months would pass and the Sahaba said they did not see fire coming from the house of the Messenger of Allah. And they would ask Aisha, what did you eat? She said, Al-Aswadain, which means dates and water. On the battle of the Khandaq, one of the Sahaba came to the Prophet complaining of hunger and that he had a rock tied around his stomach, which is akin to a modern practice in which they actually staple the stomach in order for people that have problems overeating. It's a way of getting rid of hunger pangs. And this is what the ancient Arabs, in fact, somebody could make probably a lot of money by creating a new diet practice of putting rocks around. You sell flat rocks. They sold pet rocks not that long ago. Somebody made millions of dollars, convinced people to tie rocks around their stomach as a way of staving off their hunger pains. But the Messenger of Allah did that, and he showed the man that he had two rocks. In other words, he was even more hungry than that Sahabi. So our Messenger lived like the people that he taught and served, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said that the high mountains of gold tried to tempt him. He was offered the mountains to be made gold for him. This was offered to the Messenger of Allah, and he refused. And then he says, what magnanimity he showed on that day. In other words, what greatness of spirit he showed, because how many people in this world, if they were offered a mountain of gold, people sell their souls for gold in this world. And he said that his zuhud, his doing without, and his lack of dunya, it increased his piety in spite of his need. And then he says, because need never prevails, who has this ismah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, and how could he call to the world, how can necessities of such a noble personality incline him towards the world? The one, had it not been for him, this world would not have come out of non-existence. This line is a line that's been debated, but I'll mention just one thing, people. The Messenger of Allah, and I'll use Ibn Taymiyyah, because Ibn Taymiyyah is somebody who people often quote to attack verses like this. Ibn Taymiyyah was asked about this statement, and he actually said, and it's in the fatawa, he said, this statement is true, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I have only created humans and jinn to worship. And he said, therefore, the reason, the purpose for human existence is to worship Allah. And no one has perfected worship more than the Messenger of Allah. And so really, the one who was created to know Allah is the human being. And the one who knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than any other human being, and the Prophet said, أَنَا أَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ, and khashya is awe with knowledge. So the, and that's why Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِي الْعُلَمَى. Khashya is different from khawf. Fear is something even an ignorant person can feel fear. But only a learned person, one who has knowledge, can have khashya. And the Prophet had more khashya, awe with knowledge, than anyone else. And so really the purpose of the world was realized at its acme in the Messenger of Allah, which is perfect ubudiyah, or servanthood, slavehood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why Allah says, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi, laylan. Glory be to the one who took his servant, abdihi, laylan. And so he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the best. And this is why the next line says, Muhammadun sayyidul kawnaini wa thaqalain. Muhammad is the sayyid of the both conscious creations, the jinn and the ins, thaqalain, the two weighty ones, the two heavy ones, heavy with responsibility, the amana, the trust that Allah has given. And so the Messenger of Allah is saying, and this is based on a hadith, أَنَا سَيْدُ وَلْدِ آدَمْ وَلَا فَخْرًا. I am the best of all of the sons of Adam, and I'm not boasting. I am the master of the children of Adam without boast. And the ulama say, his fakhr, his glory was not that he was the master of creation, his glory that he was the most perfected slave of the creator of creation. So the fakhr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in his ubudiyah to Allah. It's not in his mastery of creation. And so he was telling people, I'm not boasting, I'm commanded to inform you of my station with Allah, which is that I am the best of creation. And we have to believe that as our aqidah. We believe that as Muslims. And if we do not believe that as Muslims, then we have a serious deficiency in our understanding, like the Mu'tazilite, who actually went to the opinion that the angels were better, which is a deviant position. And then وَالْفَرِقَيْن مِنْ عَرَبٍ وَمِنْ عَجَمِي. He's also the best of the Arab and the non-Arab, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who commands good and forbids evil, there is no one that is more truthful and fulfilling in saying no or yes. If he said no, he meant no. If he said yes, he meant yes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never reported to have said no to anyone. He never refused any human being a request. And in fact, some of them said, had it not been for the la in la ilaha illallah, the Messenger of Allah would have never said la. And this is something anybody who is in a position of authority or a position in which they're dealing with a lot of people, they know that this is a miracle of the Messenger of Allah. And Adi, Hatim's son, Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i, when he went to find out who the Messenger of Allah was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he thought he was a king. And as they were walking to the house of the Messenger of Allah, an old lady stopped the Messenger of Allah, and he spoke with her. And Adi said in the hadith, Wallahi, I knew he wasn't a king, because no king would sit and talk with an old woman on the side of the road, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the Habib. This is one of his names, Habibullah. He is Allah's most beloved, whose intercession is hoped for every fear from all of these distresses that will come on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. When the Yawm al-Qiyamah comes, it is his shafa'ah that everyone will go to, the intercession of the Messenger of Allah. Human beings will go to Adam and he will say, Nafsi, Nafsi. They'll go to Nuh alayhi salam and he will say, Nafsi, Nafsi. They go all the way up to Isa alayhi salam, and even Isa, with his exalted maqam, says, Nafsi, Nafsi. All of the messengers say they can't help us. And then they go to the Messenger of Allah in the Sahih Hadith. He called people towards Allah, so those who cling to him, cling to a rope which will never snap. On that day, those who cling to the Messenger of Allah cling to a rope that will not break. But the Messenger of Allah is the wasila through which this ummah has great hope on that day. The Messenger of Allah has been given the shafa'a. And this is reminding us of that fact. فَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ فِي خَلْقٍ وَفِي خُلُقِي. He has transcended, he has gone beyond the prophets physically, because he was the most beautiful of prophets, including Yusuf alayhi salam, who was known for his beauty, even by the testimony of the Quran. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi salam was the most physically beautiful of the prophets, and he was the most perfect in character. إِنَّمَا بُعِثُ لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. The hadith that says, do not prefer me over other prophets, this means in the maqam of nabuwa. In other words, no prophet is over another prophet in nabuwa itself. And this was also a warning not to go to the Jews and say, our prophet is better than your prophet, as a way of boasting. Because this would lead to them saying derogatory things about our prophet. And this is why we have utmost respect for all of the prophets, and this is part of our tradition. None of the other prophets came near to him in knowledge and noble character, nature, in his kindness, karam, generosity. وَكُلُّهُمْ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مُلْتَمِسُونَ All of them derive from the Messenger of Allah like a handful of water from the ocean or sips from the continuous rains, and they all stop before him at their assigned limits. This is based also on the hadith that the Prophet was, according to the hadith of the Isra, when he went to the Masjid al-Aqsa, all of the prophets placed him before them, and he was their imam. And then also on the Mi'raj itself, each one of them had a maqam, a station, that placed them in a certain heaven. And even Ibrahim a.s., who was in the highest station, could not go to the place where the Messenger of Allah came. Even Jibreel a.s. himself said, I cannot go any further. So each one had a limit, and our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam went beyond all of those limits to take his station as the best of creation. Either a point of knowledge or to gain one wisdom from his wisdom. So he is the one in whom all of outward and inward perfections have been manifest. The Messenger of Allah is the perfection of human possibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected in him character and knowledge. And then he chose him as a beloved. All of the many of the messengers have titles. Kareem Allah is Musa alayhi salam. Khalil Allah, the friend of Allah, is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam is Ruh Allah, the spirit of Allah. The Messenger of Allah is given the title Habib Allah, the beloved of Allah. And this obviously is superior to all of the other stations, because the one you love even transcends speech. The one you love is the one that really it's inexpressible, the nature of love. مُنَزَّهٌ عَنْ شَرِيكٍ فِي مَحَاسِنِهِ He has no equal in humanity when we look at his noble qualities. فَجَوْهَرُ الْحُسْنِ فِيهِ غَيْرُ مُنْقَسِمِ The jewel of his excellence is indivisible. And this comes from the idea in kalam of the Jawhar al-Fard, which is the least or the smallest matter in creation, according to Imam Abu Bakr al-Baqallani's atomic theory. An atom, according to the early mutakallimun, does not mean the modern atom, which actually has divisible parts. The atom, according to which is called Jawhar al-Fard. So he's using that. Is that his essence is indivisible. دَعْمَ أَدَعَتُ النَّصَارَ فِي نَبِيِّهِمْ Now, the reason he says this is important because the previous lines could make somebody start thinking that he's giving the Prophet ﷺ qualities that really should not be given to anyone in this phenomenal existence. And this is why he says, discard what the Christians claim about their Prophet. In other words, do not say that he's a god. We don't say that, hasha. Do not say what the Christians claim about their Prophet. Then decide and say what you wish in praise of him. Many of the ulama have said that actually mubalagha in praising the Prophet, as long as it doesn't go beyond any acceptable had in terms of aqidah is acceptable, because really his praiseworthy qualities can never be exaggerated, his generosity and all these other. But he's saying leave what the Christians have said about that, and this is why the Prophet said, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى عيسى بن مريم. Do not go to the extreme that the Christians went to Isa ibn Maryam. So the mafhum there, the mafhum al-mukhalafa is that praise me, but do not praise me like the Christians praised their Prophet, which took them out of the pale of Tawheed. وَنْسُبْ إِلَى ذَاتِي مَا شَأْتَ مِنْ شَرَفٍ And attribute to his nature, his essence, whatever you wish of nobility. وَنْسُبْ إِلَى قَدْرِهِ مَا شَأْتَ مِنْ عِظَمِ And to his dignified status, attribute what you wish of greatness. فإن فضل رسول الله ليس له حد فيعرب عنه أو فيعرب عنه ناطق بفمه. Because the excellence of this messenger has no limit that can be expressed by somebody speaking with a mouth. لو ناسبت قدره آياته عظما. If his miracles were proportionate to his rank and greatness, أحيا اسمه حين يدعى دارس الرمم, then his name would have, when called out, brought decaying bones back to life. Like Isa alayhi salam, he was using that from the idea that the miracle of Isa alayhi salam was that he could bring people back to life by the permission of Allah. And so this is again an exaggerated praise to explain to us the importance. لَمْ يَمْتَحِنَّ بِمَا تَعْيَ الْعُقُورُ بِهِ. And this, I think, is really one of the most profound lines in the entire Burda. He did not try to test us with that which would confound our minds. In other words, the Prophet's message, at really, if we look at it, it's so simple that even an illiterate Bedouin who has no education could grasp it. In other words, the abstruseness of Christian theology, which has confounded even the most brilliant minds in Western civilization, we have nothing like that in our tradition. It's something that even the simplest of people can understand. And I've told this story before, but I was once in the Emirates, and this really profoundly affected me when I was studying years ago. I was in a gathering with some Bedouin, and one man asked me what I was before I was Muslim, and I said I was a Christian. And he said, what do they believe? And these were young, they were like in their late teens or early 20s. And I said, and they were real Bedouin, illiterate. And I said, and they had their camel sticks with them. And I said, well, I was taught that Jesus was the Son of God. And one of the young men said, well, that makes sense because he didn't have a father. And the other one took his stick and he hit him, and he said, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. And I just said, subhanAllah, you know, ikhlas turns a simple desert Arab into a theologian. Really, if you think of the profoundness of that reality, just knowing ikhlas. And another story that's a true story, a great sheikh who lives in Medina, Sheikh Muhammad Mamoun, he's a sharif, a sayyid, he's originally from Mauritania. He told me when he went to our sheikh Murabtar Hajj and he wanted to study tawheed with him, Murabtar Hajj said, you want tawheed, I'll give you tawheed. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. There's tawheed. Don't study anything else. Study fiqh. Learn how to worship Allah. That's tawheed. And there's an incredible wisdom in that. And that's really what this means. Out of keen interest for us, neither were we suspicious, nor were we confounded by his teaching. His perfect inner nature made people helpless from comprehending it, so it was not understood. Those near and far, except according to their imperfect understanding. So each of us will understand the message of Allah according to our level. But really, in reality, we cannot understand the depth of this human being in the same way that we really don't even know our own true nature. Imam al-Ghazali says, one of the most fascinating things about man is he's ignorant of his own nature. And he said, people ask, want to know where Allah is. He said, you don't even know where you are. In the universe, what are the coordinates? Ask an engineer. What are our coordinates in the universe? He can only tell you the coordinates on the earth, right? Or in relation to the sun and other planets. But nobody knows where we are in the universe. And then Imam al-Ghazali said, you don't even know how you can urinate after drinking a glass of water. You don't even know what's going on in your body, right? And they don't even know how aspirin works. You ask any physician, how does aspirin work? The most prescribed drug in the world. And then this another line is a great line. Like the sun, it's seen by the eyes from far, very small, yet hurts the eye when you stare at it. You see, this he's giving an analogy of the profoundness of this Prophet ﷺ. You see the sun far away, but try to look at it. Right? And then he says, Allahu Akbar. وَكَيْفَ يُدْرِكُ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَقِيقَتُهُ قَوْمٌ نِيَامٌ تَسَلُّ عَنْهُ بِالْحُلُمِ. How can people understand the reality of this man in this world when there are people immersed in their dreams, preoccupied in their fantasies? You see, and somebody said to me, I'm done. I'm done. That's enough. That line right there, that's all you need to know. Really, that's all you need to know. That sums up the whole burda. كَيْفَ يُدْرِكُ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَقِيقَتُهُ قَوْمٌ نِيَامٌ تَسَلُّ عَنْهُ بِالْحُلُمِ. That's all. And the reality of it is, somebody said to me in Morocco, how strange it is to see an American become a Muslim. And I said, that's not strange at all. What's strange is the whole world doesn't become Muslim. That's what's strange to me. Not that an American can become Muslim. There's nothing strange about that at all. What's strange is the world has yet to recognize who this man was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what he offers humanity.